Lecture topic, Words of Wisdom.
الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا ناجيتم الرسول فقدموا بين يدي نجواكم صدقة ذلك خير لكم وأطهر فإن لم تجدوا فإن الله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, let me follow suit with Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib and also clear the air with regards to the flowery description that Mawlana Rafiq Sahib has presented. Perhaps I don't have the parables of Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib, but I have some couplets to share with you. Wallahi law alimu qabiha sarirati la abas salama alayya man yalqani wa la a'radu anni wa mallu suhbati wa la bu'tu ba'da karamatin bihawani لكن سترت معايبي ومثالبي وحلمت عن طغياني فلك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله والله لو علموا قبيح سريرتي. I swear by Allah, if this crowd had to know my evil, لأبى السلام علي من يلقاني, never mind not greeting me, they will not even answer my greetings. ولأعرضوا عني وملوا صحبتي, and they would run faster than they come close to me. وَلَبُعْتُ بَعْدَ كَرَامَةٍ بِهَوَانِي, I can only tear and lift my hands to Allah. إِنَّ الْمَقَادِيرَ إِذَا تَسَاعَدَتْ أَلْحَقَتِ الْعَاجِزُ بِالْقَادِرِ, when taqdeer becomes favorable for any person, the helpless become helpful. When taqdeer becomes favorable, then the helpless become helpful. And I must also mention that, you know, one day Mawlana Dhulfiqar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum mentioned when he was in South Africa, he says, I learned a lesson from a Hindu boy with whom I was schooling. Mawlana mentioned that he was with me in Safar to Australia. Just to rephrase, I was with Mawlana in that Safar. And this is what Mawlana mentioned, and I think it came to my mind. He says, Mawlana mentioned at this age of his, and wallahi, I say this here, in fact, while I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, you know, while all the consorts and the wives of Nabi alayhi salam were unique, but Sayyidatina Sauda radiallahu anha enjoys one privilege which no other wife has. And that is, she's seen the love Nabi alayhi salam had for Aisha radiallahu anha. So she was brave enough to say, Aj'al yawmi li Aisha. That, O Nabi of Allah, I see you have a passion with your wife Aisha. I have aged. Don't divorce me. I don't have the need of a man. On my night, you can comfortably go and visit your wife Aisha radiallahu anha. And it was by the cleanliness of her heart that she secured being the wife of Nabi alayhi salam in this world, the mother of the ummah, and standing up as the wife of Nabi alayhi salam on the day of Qiyamah. I really feel like saying, Aj'al waqti, that I feel like devoting my time to Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib and my Ustad Mawlana Shabir Sahib. You know, that perhaps would be a more appropriate thing. Nonetheless, Mawlana says, one day I met a friend of mine, a school friend, after many years. And then I asked him, I said, so, your parents staying with you amongst the brothers? So Mawlana says, this Hindu boy was aged, of course, now taught me a lesson. He says, yes, you're correct. I am staying with my parents. My parents are not staying with me. Although he was the breadwinner, he was supporting, he was keeping his parents. But what did he say? I am staying with my parents. So alhamdulillah, I benefited greatly from that particular safar. Brothers, if you studied ahadith of Nabi alayhi salam, then you will find that many of the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salam were in response to questions that were asked. And that is the tarteeb of the Quran also. يَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ يَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ, these are the questions that are asked to you, and these were the responses of Nabi alayhi salam. Often the answers of Nabi alayhi salam were fairly lengthy. But there were also those occasions, and perhaps this jalsa provides us with that platform, where a sahabi would come to Nabi alayhi salam and say, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَوْصِنِي وَأَوْجِزِ, O Nabi of Allah, give me advice and make it short. It might sound disrespectful, but the intention of that sahabi was, let me absorb it, let me implement it, and bring it into my life. So give me advice, make it short and concise. And perhaps that is the opportunity we have today, that alhamdulillah, if we can pick up little from every program, you know, that the pattern of what the sahabi said, You know, Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayh makes mention that someone made a question, ma balu ulama'u zamanina la yatta'idhu an-nasu bimawa'idihim. What is the matter with our scholars that people do not benefit from their lectures? So he answered by saying, inna ulama'a as-salaf kanu ayqadha wa kana an-nasu niyama, fanabbaha al-ayqadhu an-niyam. That in the previous times, the ulama, and I mentioned this, this is the quotation of Shaykh Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi, I'm not a person to make mention of this here. Inna ulama as-salaf kanu ayqadha. In the previous times, the ulama were awake, they were vibrant. Wa-nasu niyam, and the general masses were perhaps weak, lethargic, asleep. فَنَبَّهَ الْأَيْقَاذُ النِّيَامِ. So the ulama who were awake, who were vibrant, who were dynamic, they awoken those who were sleeping. And again, I stress, this is not my words, I'm a humble student that is sitting here. وَعُلَمَاءُ زَمَانِنَا نِيَامٌ وَالنَّاسُ مَوْتَى. وَعُلَمَاءُ زَمَانِنَا نِيَامٌ وَالنَّاسُ مَوْتَى. And the condition, I quote the quotation of Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahimahumullah, that وَعُلَمَاءُ زَمَانِنَا, the condition of our ulama are that they are asleep and the masses have passed away. So how can a sleeping man revive a dead person? Brothers, I quoted one ayah of the Quran, of the 28 juz of the Quran before you. Allah Rabbul Izzat very eloquently makes mention in this verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نَاجَيْتُمُ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ نَجْوَاكُمْ صَدَقًا. O you who believe, before making a presence in the noble discourses of Nabi alayhi salam, as etiquette, you should give little charity before coming in the gathering of Nabi alayhi salam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu often used to say, هَذِهِ آيَةٌ مِّن كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مَا عَمِلَ بِهَا أَحَدٌ قَبْلِي وَلَا يَعْمَلْ بِهَا أَحَدٌ بَعْدِي. This is a verse of the Quran. None enjoys the privilege of practicing on this verse before me, and nor will anyone enjoy the privilege of practicing on this ayah after me. I'm the only individual in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salam who has favored, who has been honored of practicing on this particular verse. When this injunction was revealed, I had a dinar in my hand. I made some change. I gave a dirham in charity, and I came and I sat down in the company of Nabi alayhi salam. And then I had a dialogue with Nabi alayhi salam, and I thought perhaps I'll share the dialogue with you. I barely ended this dialogue and Allah abrogated this injunction. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, I came and I sat in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Can we imagine, you know, often the media features when two celebrities meet, one from the political world, one from the sporting world. It's given the front paper of the papers. It's given a lot of media coverage. It's a big event. It is an insult to call Sayyidina Ali a celebrity. The rank given to him is much greater than that of a celebrity. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, regarding whom it was famous, that يتفجر العلم من جوانبه وتنطق الحكمة من نواحيه يستوحش من الدنيا وزهرتها يستأنس بالليل وظلمته يعجبه من اللباس ما قصر ومن الطعام ما جشب. One can continue speaking about the virtues of Sayyidina Ali, but a man of his caliber asking questions and the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answering. It is one of the most comprehensive dialogues I've ever come across in my life. Very encompassing, but very voluminous indeed. So let us take this dialogue to heart and see the wonderful advices that the Nabi of Allah has given to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and from him onwards transmitted to the entire ummah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu asked the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is recorded in Madarikut Tanzeel in the second volume on page 659. The first question that he says, I asked Nabi alayhi salatu was salam was, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mal wafa'u? What is loyalty? What is faithfulness, O Nabi of Allah? As servants, as humans, what is true loyalty and faithfulness? Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, At-tawheed wa shahadatu an la ilaha illallah. To display total servitude to Allah ta'ala, and to bring iman on the oneness of Allah ta'ala, proclaim the oneness of Allah, this is indeed loyalty and faithfulness. I'll just briefly run through it. We'll touch on one, two aspects. The second question I then asked Nabi alayhi salam, wama al-fasadu? O Nabi of Allah, what is the opposite? If that is loyalty and faithfulness, what is evil, mischief and corruption? So Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, al-kufru wa shirku billah. The greatest form of injustice and oppression. Like the Quran says, there are many people who are profound in their articulation. وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ. Yet their endeavors are only evil. They chant noble slogans. They chant noble slogans, but they contradict themselves with their activities. So the Nabi of Allah said, what was the greatest form of evil and corruption? That is disbelief in Allah and ascribe in partners with Allah. My third question to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was, قُلْتُ وَمَا الْحَقُّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Oh, Nabi of Allah, what is the absolute truth? What is the absolute truth? Nabi alayhi salam said, الْإِسْلَامُ وَالْقُرْآنُ وَالْوِلَايَةُ إِذَا انْتَهَتْ إِلَيْهِ. Islam is the absolute truth. The Quran is the absolute truth. And perhaps, let me just take 2 minutes and digress in the topic of Mawlana Ibrahim Sahab, that indeed our deen is one that we discuss and we learn by ta'allum, where we sit in the company of scholars and we humble ourselves. Once I was in America and I had to give a talk to some academically intellectual people, and I spoke about the difference between knowledge and information. While the Nabi of Allah prophesies prior to Qiyamah, knowledge will decrease, but information will become much more and much greater. And there is a fine line between knowledge and information. We take the incident of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. My time doesn't warrant for me to explore the topic, but briefly to explain one point, that while Allah had given him so much knowledge, you see today how our minds work. The other day in the madrasa, I asked one boy, we were doing one kitab, I asked him, do you know what does substitute mean? One word came in the kitab. He says, yeah, I know, when one player is sick, then you bring in a substitute. When one player is sick and is hurt, you bring... This is the mindset. This is how the mind operates. This is the only this is what he understood. The vocabulary of the child is substitute means this. He doesn't have any other understanding. And perhaps many a time we apply, as Maulana said, our logic, and we think we can acquire the knowledge of deen in that way also. Allah Ta'ala directs Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam to Khidr. Again, the situation of someone who is lower in rank. But here we learn the total etiquettes of learning deen. The etiquettes of learning deen. Now here Musa alayhi salam comes as a student. Now let us not forget what is the rank of Musa alayhi salam. When Nabi alayhi salam ascended to the heavens and he met the various prophets, no Nabi took the courage of returning Nabi alayhi salam back to Allah other than Musa. Ibrahim alayhi salam also met, he says, 50 namazes, congratulations to you, carry on. Musa alayhi salam met Nabi alayhi salam, what gift Allah gave you, 50 namazes, go back. Mawlana Idris Kandalwi rahmatullahi alayhi has made mention in Sirat Mustafa that kalam ye maqam naz hai, that Musa alayhi salam spoke to Allah. And this somehow gives a sense of authority. You know, you go to him, I'm on the phone with him daily, tell him I sent you. Tell him I sent you, just use my name, I speak to him every day. Musa alayhi salam said, you go to Allah and you say, I have sent you. Musa alayhi salam was that person who even directed the Nabi of Allah. This is his rank. But before Khidr, he is a student. See how he tones down. هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. I wish you could comprehend the submissive nature of Sayyidina Musa in these words. There's no words in any language that can express the humble tone of Musa in this. He comes as a student. In Muslim Sharif, under the manaqib of Musa alayhi salam, we learn that Allah sends Musa alayhi salam, Allah sends Malakul Maut, that go and take out the soul of Musa. The angel of death comes to Musa alayhi salam, falatamahu. Musa alayhi salam slaps him one. His eye falls out. And he goes back to Allah. And he says, arsaltani ila abdin la yuridul maut. Oh Allah, today you have sent me to a person who doesn't want to die. Arsaltani ila abdin la yuridul maut. So Allah Ta'ala says, go back to Musa and tell him that you are the angel of death. And tell him, I'm giving him one option, I haven't given it to anyone else. يَضَعُ يَدَهُ عَلَى مَتَنِ ثَوْرٍ فَلَهُ بِمَا غَطَّتْ يَدُهُ بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ سَنَى. Then he has one option, he must take his hand and put it on the back of a bull, on the back of a cow. And every strand of hair that he touches, I will grant him extension of 1 year's life. Now imagine if the angel of death had to come, we'll use two hands and look for the most hairy bull on this earth. But what was the vision of a Nabi? He said, ثُمَّ مَهْ. What happens after that? He says, inevitably is death, now or later. Then he made dua to Allah to take him close to the blessed land of Palestine. And Nabi alayhi salam said that, oh my Sahaba, if I was there, لَأَرَيْتُكُمْ قَبْرَهُ. If I was there, I would have showed you his grave at the side of the foot of a red hill. I would have shown you the grave of Musa alayhi salam. Nonetheless, this was the rank he enjoyed. That he returned the Nabi of Allah, he returned the angel of death. Yet when he came before Khidr, this is how he toned down. And this is the way through which we will acquire the knowledge of deen. Maulana Ibrahim Dawla Damat Barakatuhum one day mentioned That, you know, the perception of the West is that make the child understand his liberation. And I mentioned this to the youth once back in America also, that there are many youngsters today that are waiting to mature. Some are waiting to mature that I can stand on the musalla of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's qasam, they in reward from now. Some are waiting to mature that I can officially smoke in public places. Some are waiting to mature that I can hold a bottle of wine and walk around freely. They are in guna from now, that youngster is in thawab from now. So the perception is that azadi tumara haq hai. Freedom is your right. Maulana said it in his words, azadi tumara haq hai, barbadi tumara natija hai. If freedom is your right, then destruction is your lot. So anyway, what did the Nabi of Allah say? Islam is the absolute truth. I then asked Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, قُلْتُ وَمَا عَلَيَّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Nabi of Allah, what is obligatory upon me? What am I responsible to do? As a Muslim, as a human on this earth, Nabi alayhi salam said two things. تَاعَةُ اللَّهِ وَتَاعَةُ رَسُولِهِ. Obedience to Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is standing in Masjid and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person comes and proclaims the kalima loudly and he says, I've accepted Islam. Umar radiallahu anhu calms him down and he says, what's the event? What has really impressed you so much? He says, I heard one Muslim prisoner read one verse today. I found it to be so encompassing that it includes the knowledge of the Torah, Zabur and the Injil. And then he started elaborating on that ayat. وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ, the one who obeys Allah. That refers to all those things which Allah has made compulsory. وَرَسُولَهُ, and follows the life of Nabi alayhi salam. وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ, and fears Allah regarding his past. وَيَتَّقِهِ, and becomes conscious of Allah regarding his future. وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ, fears Allah regarding his past. وَيَتَّقِهِ, and becomes conscious of Allah regarding his future. Maulana Sayyid Ahmed Khan Sahib Muhajir Madani rahimahumullah used to say, today the ummah is making istighfar, the ummah is not making tawbah. Istighfar is, oh Allah, forgive me for what I have done, and tawbah is, Allah, I pledge never to return to it. The ummah is making istighfar, the ummah is not making tawbah. He says, I carried on with the discussion. I asked Nabi alayhi salam, kayfa adu'u Allah? O Nabi of Allah, how should I supplicate Allah? Nabi alayhi salam said, bis sidqi wal yaqeen. Supplicate Allah with conviction. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has made mention of a riwayat in Ma'ariful Quran, the concluding verses of Surah Mu'minun, that Nabi alayhi salam and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu were walking. They passed by a person who was terminally ill. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud took the permission of Nabi alayhi salam, went there, whispered something in the man's ears. Allah cured him instantly and permanently. Nabi alayhi salam called Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and said, tell me these ayat. Nabi alayhi salam asking Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, what is this? He said, O Nabi of Allah, I decided to read this verse. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Nabi alayhi salam said, indeed Allah has inspired you with such verses. If read by any Muslim with conviction, even a mountain will move from its place. Then I asked Nabi alayhi salam, مَاذَا أَسْأَلُ اللَّهُ. O Nabi of Allah, you told me how to supplicate Allah. My next question is, what must I ask Allah? Nabi alayhi salam said, سَلُوا اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ. Ask Allah for good health. مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ بِنِعْمَةٍ أَوْفَى مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ وَكُلُّ مَنْ عُوفِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَالْمَالُ حُلٌّ حَسَنٌ جَيِّدٌ عَلَى الْفَتَى لَكِنَّهُ عَارِيَةٌ مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا لَكِنَّهَا مَعَ حُسْنِهَا غَدَّارَةٌ فَانِيَةٌ مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ بِنِعْمَةٍ أَوْفَى مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ. Allah hasn't favored any human with a greater ni'mat than good health. وَكُلُّ مَنْ عُوفِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. Any person living a healthy life, be it a man living in abject poverty or in affluence, he is living a blissful life. وَالْمَالُ حُلْوٌ حَسَنٌ جَيِّدٌ عَلَى الْفَتَى. And wealth indeed enhances the beauty of a young boy, a young, handsome, talented boy, driving a beautiful car. It enhances his beauty. لَكِنَّهُ عَارِيَةٌ. But it is temporary. You know, time doesn't permit. Umar ibn Abdulaziz rahmatullah alayhi, someone built a palace and he called him. I'll only translate this in Arabic. Those that understand Arabic can appreciate it. We don't have time to translate it. So they called him that, come and have a look at my palace. So this is the site of the friends of Allah. He looked at it and he said, هَذَا سُرُورٌ لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ غُرُورٌ وَنَعِيمٌ لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ عَدِيمٌ وَمُلْكٌ لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ هُلْكٌ وَفَرَحٌ لَوْ لَمْ يَعْقِبْهُ تَرَحٌ وَلَذَّاتٌ لَوْ لَمْ تَقْتَرِنْ بِآفَاتٍ وَكَرَامَةٌ لَوْ صَحِبَتْهَا سَلَامَةٌ. I wish you can appreciate this, brothers. It is a lecture of its own. So whoever has a good health, he is living a blissful life. مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا. How beautiful this world is. لَكِنَّهَا مَعَ حُسْنِهَا غَدَّارَةٌ فَانِيَةٌ. But with its beauty, it is deceptive. With its beauty. And I must mention this here, this is vital. She says there are physical causes and reasons to our growth and defect in our health. There are spiritual connotations also. Ismail rahmatullah alayh, great scholar in Arabic grammar, says, رأيت أعرابيا قد بلغ عمره 120 سنة. I met one elderly man who was aged 120 years. I admired him for his health. I asked him, what is the recipe? He says, تركت الحسد فبقيت. تركت الحسد. You know what? I gave up jealousy and Allah gave me good health. Allah gave me such health, I don't know what is sickness. I cleansed my heart. Nabi alayhi salam held the hand of Anas. Oh Anas, if you can, أن تصبح وتمسي وليس في قلبك غش لأحد من المسلمين فافعل. Try and make it a point to just see in the morning, in the evening, you don't harbor jealousy. If you do this, you're with me in Jannah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, يَكْفِيكَ مِنَ الْحَاسِدْ أَنْ يَغْتَمَّ وَقْتَ سُرُورِكَ. It is sufficient to render a man jealous if he is unhappy on your happy occasions. The one that is sad when your daughter is married, that's a jealous man. The one that is unhappy the day your son has graduated, doesn't have a smile. When the Quran commands you, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. That is how the jealousy is translating into him. So what must I ask Allah? Ask Allah fa'afiyah. Ask Allah fa'afiyah. That is the best thing that Allah will give to any person. My next question to Nabi alayhi salam, I end with this dialogue. I ask Nabi alayhi salam, مَاذَا أَصْنَعُ لِنَجَاتِ نَفْسِي. Oh Nabi Allah, what can I do for the salvation of my soul? Nabi alayhi salam was jawami'ul kalim. Nabi alayhi salam said two things. Kul halalan wa kul sidqan. That is the summary of deen, brothers. That's the summary of deen. Kul halalan wa kul sidqan. Eat that which is pure and utter that which is true. Eat that which is pure. In Hayatul Muslimin, Mawlana Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi has made mention of a hadith. Nabi alayhi salam said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يَكُونُ هَلَاكُ الرَّجُلْ عَلَى يَدِ زَوْجَتِهِ وَأَبَوَيْهِ وَوَلَدِهِ يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ وَيُكَلِّفُونَهُ مَا لَا يُطِيقُ فَيَدْخُلُ مَدَاخِلَ الَّتِي يَذْهَبُ فِيهَا دِينُهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. A time will come, a man will lose his iman because of his wife, children and parents. The most beloved will be instrumental in this man being deprived of iman. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, the riwayat is marfu'. O Nabi of Allah, how will this happen? Nabi alayhi salam says, يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ. These people will taunt this man of his poverty. You don't provide for us. Look at what my cousin drives. The wife will say, look at my sister's furniture. This husband sitting in his own house will become a victim to the criticism of his wife and children. My Nabi says that criticism will become unbearable. He will be left with no choice but dealing in haram to satisfy the lust of his children. And when doing so, فَيَذْهَبُ فِيهَا دِينُهُ, his deen will leave him and his family. Kul halalan, eat that which is pure. وَقُلْ صِدْقًا, and utter that which is true. Brothers, you take the condition of Abu Sufyan. He accepted Islam fairly late. He was steering many of the campaigns against the Muslims. But was it not the quality of honesty in the description of Nabi alayhi salam before Hiraql in Bukhari Sharif first volume that the Nabi of Allah said, Inna Siddqa Yahdi ilal Bir, that verily honesty will steer a man to piety, who was in the forefront in steering many campaigns against the Muslim right up until the conquest of Makkah. But yet his honesty in the description of Nabi alayhi salam brought that day at the conquest of Makkah that the Nabi of Allah pardoned him and extended his security by saying, مَنْ دَخَلَ دَارَ أَبِي سُفْيَانَ فَهُوَ آمِنٌ. Whoever will take refuge by Abu Sufyan also, he will also be given my shelter. So where honesty took that person, there's so much more to say. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, I asked Nabi alayhi salam the next question, قُلْتُ وَمَا السُّرُورِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Nabi of Allah, what is the pinnacle of joy? Nabi alayhi salam said, Jannat. What is the pinnacle of joy? Luqman alayhi salam said, that person who can look after himself in three conditions, Allah will give him such sweetness of iman, nobody will have it. Man idha fariha. That person who, when he becomes happy, his joy doesn't make him trespass the limits of Allah. Often today in joy and sadness, in sadness also, brothers, when consoling and morally supporting, many women start embracing people that are strangers to them. And what about that woman who lost her son in the battle, and she comes out and the Sahaba come to console her and she's totally veiled. So some Sahabi told her that, oh sister, you're going through such a tragedy, you've lost your son. Perhaps you need not to emphasize the stringent laws of parda at this stage. What words of advice to our mothers? She says, oh my brother, I lost my son, I need not lose my modesty. I lost my son, I need not lose my modesty. That person who in his joy doesn't trespass the limits of Allah. I then asked the Nabi of Allah, قُلْتُ وَمَنْ رَاحَ. Oh Nabi of Allah, what's the pinnacle of comfort, happiness, joy, you know, prosperity? Every man is craving for this. Every man. Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, I end with this. My time, I know, maaf man, I'm exceeding my limit. Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullahi alayhi has made mention of a wonderful example in one kitab of his. Every man is craving for it, and every man has given it a different name. See, three people were traveling. They spoke three different languages. Someone came and gave them perhaps a dollar. So the one speaks Urdu, he says, Mujhe to angur kharidna hai. The other one says, hey, I want grapes, I don't know what's your angur story. The third one says, you know, I don't know what you people are saying, ana ashtari al-inab. I want inab. Now they are arguing amongst themselves. Some feel the day I am married, I will be happy. Some feel the day I have a son, I will be happy. I always tell the students in the madrasa, they'll bail me out. I say, the day you are married and you'll have a child, you think you're happy. Your father got you, ask him how happy he is. You know, the day I'm married and I have a child, ask your father how happy he is, he has you. Khair. So everybody has a different expression. Some feel that that will bring joy to me. Some feel that car will bring joy to me. Some feel that house will bring joy to me. Every man has a different expression. Anyway, they were traveling. One person came who spoke all three languages. He said, all right, give me the money, I'll sort out the whole thing. He went and he bought grapes and he came and gave it. He says, you know what? This is your grapes, ye tumhara angur hai, and this is your inab. So every person has given it a different name. But ask the man that's going on a vacation, what is he searching for? Joy. Ask the man that's buying a new car, what is he searching for? Joy. Ask the man that's getting married, what is he searching for? Joy. Any person, be it a person going to Victoria Falls or Niagara Falls, a person going anywhere and everywhere, the common thing that everybody is searching for is happiness and joy. So I asked Nabi alayhi salam, قُلْتُ وَمَنْ رَاحَ. Oh Nabi of Allah, what is the pinnacle of joy? Nabi alayhi salam said, لِقَى Allah, the time when you will meet Allah. That is. He says, فَلَمَّا فَرَغْتُ. I barely terminated this dialogue and Allah abrogated this verse. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He inspire us with the reality of what was said. May Allah ta'ala make us amongst those who consume halal, who utter the truth. May Allah favor us with good health, with good health. The famous hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, that person who gets up in the morning, man asbaha minkum mu'afan fi jasadihi, aminan fi sirbihi, indahu qutu yawmihi. That person who gets up healthy, with shelter above him and a platter of food, he got up in a manner like Allah gave him the good of the entire dunya. Walana Ibrahim Dawla Damat Barakatuhum mentioned that this is the virtue that Allah has given us. How do we appreciate it? By not performing our fajr. Allah gave us all that and we sleep beyond fajr. So let us capitalize on the good health that Allah has given us. The riwayat of Kanzul Ummal, man adama an-nadhra fil mushafi mutti'a bi basarihi ma dama fid dunya. That young boy in whose youth who will lower his gaze and not look at strange women but will constantly look at the Quran. My Nabi says Allah will preserve his sight for him as long as he lives. And the Quran says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. That we created man in the noblest of forms and we can reduce him to the lowest of low, with the exception of those who bring iman and do good deeds. Ikrama rahmatullahi used to say, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَيْ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ قَرَأُوا الْقُرْآنِ. Those who will read Quran in their youth, Allah will preserve their youth for them and Allah will keep them in good health. May Allah keep us in good health and give us the ability to channel our abilities in His obedience. Wa akhiru da'wana.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.